Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Hey, I hope that you've come with an anticipation to hear the word this morning. The word of God is something that will forever change your life if you apply it to your life. And so you realize that when it comes to this life, there are so much that really leans towards or pointing to God as being God and just who he is, whether it be science, whether it be whatever the case is. Again, God's always using things to point to his direction and just his heart towards his people. And I happened to be watching the news just the other day, and there was this scientist. I don't know if he was a psychologist or necessarily what kind of doctor that he was, but he was a professor at one of these prestigious universities in our country. I can't remember the name of it, but it was one of the prestigious medical universities in our nation. And they performed an experiment, and they decided to get together. I can't remember if it was a thousand individuals, but they wanted to perform an experiment of a new therapy that they had in mind to help people with chronic pain and things that they had going on in their body in regards to sickness and disease and, like I said, pain. And so as they began to do this interview with this professor, they said, well, tell us about what it is that you're doing. And he says, well, it's a new therapy. It's a new technique that we've started to engage, and we have had tremendous results. In fact, we have had, I think it was 98% of our clients have seen significant change, and 80-some percent of them have seen all the pain and the symptoms disappear. And they said, well, this sounds too good to be true. They said, what is this new therapy that you're doing? He says, well, what we're training them to do is to think differently. To not think about the pain, but divert their thinking somewhere else and then engage their mouth and say and speak something contrary to what they have been. And when he's talking that and saying that and saying that they've got all these results as a result of this new therapy, I'm thinking, dear God, finally, they're starting to apply the word of God to their medical practices. Think differently, talk differently, and you'll have a different result. Amen? How many of you know that the reason why so many times we feel the way we do is because we're meditating on the thing that is troubling us? And if you meditate on it long enough, what happens? Your mouth will follow suit and you'll begin to talk about it. And the Bible says this, it is a spiritual principle, you will have whatever you say, right? I mean, how many of you have ever said to yourself, oh, I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. And inevitably, you find yourself just feeling so tired, right? Hello? Is this thing on? How, you understand what I'm saying? You begin to manifest in your life what you say. But here's the thing. That's the way that God made us. I said, that's the way that God made us. In fact, the Bible says this, that we were created in the image and the likeness of God. And so when we see God, the Bible says that God saw something that he desired and spoke it into existence, and therefore it was. And therefore he says, now I've commissioned you to be just like me. He says, now have dominion, go into the world, subdue it. And he says, and you were created in my likeness and in my image. So therefore that means that we're going to begin to look like and act like our Father God, right? He's created you to be like him. Regardless whether you're a Christian or not, you are a spirit being. And just like that medical doctor, he said, we have begun to experience that the things that we think on and the things that we say begins to change the environment that we live in. Amen? Now, again, how many of you have ever experienced like cold symptoms or flu symptoms, right? Well, when you start to feel it, what do you start to think about? Like, oh, man, I hope I don't have the flu. Man, I kind of feel funny in my tummy. Oh, my head hurts. Oh, man, I'm kind of achy. I'm kind of chilled. And you start thinking on that thing. And you start, oh, man, I feel it coming. And then you start talking, man, I think I'm getting sick. Right? Rather than putting a stop to it and say, no, wait a minute. I've got something to say about this. Now, we'll talk about that in just a little bit more. But let me just kind of paint a picture for you using an example to kind of steer us in a direction here as to where we're heading. For many of us, you know, we might have been raised in a family, whether parents, mom and dad have passed on, or maybe you have parents that are still alive now. But at some point in time, you may have thought of or contemplated the idea of what will my inheritance be from mom and dad? Will I receive anything from my parents when they pass on? And so for some individuals, you might think about your parents, or individuals might say this, you know, well, I won't have anything when it comes to my parents dying because they've never had anything and they ain't going to leave anything. You know, or my parents, you know, anything that they ever had, they spent all that they had. And so therefore, there's not going to be anything left over when they go. So there is no anticipation. For others, you know, they might say, you know, my parents didn't believe in leaving us an inheritance. They wanted us to work hard for our own money and work hard for our own things. And so, you know, mom and dad, they always said, we're just leaving everything to charity. You know, you're going to have to fend for yourself. You're going to have to take care of yourself. And so we're leaving it to somebody else. Now, again, somebody else, they might say, what about your inheritance? Well, you know, mom and dad, they've had a lot of things, but, you know, there's those favorite kids. And so mom and dad will probably leave it to the favorite child. And I just don't think that I'm that one. So I'm not anticipating anything, right? Or you might be of the nature, you know what? Mom and dad, they were very established. They've had some things. I know that they were smart in the affairs of their life. And so therefore, I just know that there's going to be an inheritance in my life when they pass, right? Again, some of you in this place might find yourself in one of those scenarios when it comes to an inheritance that you receive in this life. But those examples that I shared with you are much like how we think towards God in regards to his promises towards us. The Bible says that God has made available promises unto us. But when you talk to certain individuals, you'll say, you know, concerning the promises of God, what do you think? Or what about this? Or what about that? And some might say this, well, God doesn't do things like that today. We see that he did stuff like that in the Bible, but God doesn't do that kind of thing today. Or others might say, well, you know, I believe that God does provide promises and does good things, but it's also based upon whether or not we're good enough, if I do the right things, if I'm pleasing to God, and so therefore it has something to do with me earning something from God. Others might say, well, I believe that God does certain things. I believe that he's made us promises. But I also believe that it's in regards to the sovereignty of God. And so that means that it's according to God's will. God sometimes will do it for this one. Sometimes he won't. We just don't understand. We don't know the mind of God. It's all according to God's sovereignty and according to his will. And then there's the last individual that says, yes, I believe that God has made us promises and that we can freely receive from God. Amen? And so once again, there's different mindsets that we all have when it comes to receiving from God. And my desire is that we would begin to understand that there's something that you have to do or a part you have to play. And as I started, there's something about the way that you think and the way that you talk. If you recall, over the last few weeks, we talked about the grace of God, that it's God's ability to do in and for us and through us what we can and cannot do of ourselves. But we said this, in regards to our mouth has a lot to do of engaging with the grace of God. Amen? So again, just to help us understand how we can receive from God, we're going to kind of just take a journey in the scripture here. And I'll just forewarn you, there's a number of scriptures that we're going to look at. So please don't check out on me when you start to see it up on the screen or as I begin to read, because I know a lot of times we just kind of like, okay, wait until it gets done, or I just kind of start thinking about something else. No, pay attention to the scripture, because once again, it's the scripture that gives us a foundation to believe. It's the word of God that begins to build faith. Amen. All right. So in regards to our own lives, the Bible tells us this, that there's a man by the name of Abraham. Anybody familiar with Abraham? How many of you grew up in kids' church? Father Abraham had many sons. Remember that one? Raise your hand if you ever sang that song. All right, some of you did. Abraham, the Bible tells us that he is the father of faith. And so therefore, it gives us an example. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it says that Abraham was a great man of faith, and therefore his faith is one that you can follow, right? Now, it's interesting that it tells us this, but when we look at the scripture, the Bible says that God made a promise to Abraham at the age of 75. But he did not see the fulfillment or the answer to that promise until he was 100 years old. So in other words, God made a promise, and it took 25 years. My question is why? If God said it, that should settle it. Why did it take so long? Have you ever felt like that? God, I know that this is what you said. What's taking so long? Do you think that maybe it's not on God's end? That more than likely it's on our end that maybe begins to slow the process, right? And so I want to look at that today to help us. In fact, for that matter, because oftentimes we allow our experiences to determine our doctrine or theology, many times because so many that we know or even ourselves have said, I know God made me a promise, or I know that this is what the Bible says, but it's just taken forever. And so therefore, we've gotten this mentality that sometimes it just takes a long time for God's answer to come together. And sometimes you just don't know how long, and sometimes you just don't know when. But I want to debunk that theory, if you will, this morning, as we begin to look at the story of Abraham. So, God made Abraham a promise at the age of 75. And this is what he says. He says, I will give you descendants as many as the stars in the sky. Now, you would think that that would excite you. God supernaturally came down and talked to me. And he says, Abraham, he says, I know that you've been wanting a son. And he says, you know what? I'm going to give you descendants as many as the stars in the sky. And you would think that that would suffice Abraham. God said, praise the Lord. But you know what Abraham did? He turned right around and says, well, God, how is this going to be? Since I don't have a son, and the one that is in my house is not my heir. Huh. Have you ever questioned God? Have you ever said, what's up, God? So you're in good company. I said you're in good company. But once again, we see Abraham at the age of 75, God made him a promise, and he says, how will I know? And then God answers. He says, all right. He says, Abram, he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. We're going to make a covenant. Now go get the pieces or the elements to the covenant. Now, for us as Western individuals, or what are we, Western, Eastern, wherever we're at in North America here, all right? My geography wasn't real good. I went to Clio, so forgive me, all right? So anyways, North America people, we don't think in terms of covenant. But covenant is one of the most powerful agreement known to man. And so therefore, when God said to Abram, he says, go get the elements. I'm going to make a covenant with you. This was significant to Abraham. He says, God is going to make a covenant with me. And this is very significant. Amen. But as he gets the elements ready for the covenant, the Bible says that God caused him to go into a sleep. And as he's sleeping there with fuzzy eyes, he begins to see two bodies and two shadows of individuals going through the process of the covenant. And the scripture actually tells him, we don't have time to get into it, but the scripture actually tells us that God the Father was making covenant with himself, or God the Son. In other words, he was saying that I'm going to make a covenant with you, Abraham, but because you're a man and because you can negate this covenant and this agreement, I'm going to take you out of the equation and I'm going to make covenant with myself. And that, therefore, it will be a surety that it will come to pass. And we see that played out in Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Look at what it says here. It says that you do not become sluggish. Now, he's speaking to us right here in this verse, in verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherited. Everybody say inherited. Inherited the promises. Now, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. So once again, Hebrews confirms that and says, God swore by himself. He could swear by no one greater, and therefore it was an assurity that the promises of God would come to pass. But yet time still continued to pass on, and Abraham is not seeing the promise. So God said, and then God made a covenant. And in the midst of that, you know that he and his wife started talking. And they're like, well, what's up? It's just taking too long. And how come it's taking so long and we're not seeing the answer? And you're only getting older. I'm only getting older. And in fact, for that matter, I've never been able to have kids. And so then Sarah says to her husband, she says, well, I've got this maidservant, Hagar. Why don't you take her? And she can be a surrogate. Now listen, God said supernaturally to Abraham, I'm going to make your descendants like the stars. He made a covenant with him supernaturally. But yet in the midst of that, because of the duration of time, Abraham decides to take matters in his own hands and starts to try to help God. Have you ever done that before? What's up, God? How come it's taking so long? Well, maybe if I'll do this, maybe if I'll do that, maybe I can help God along the way. Maybe God just kind of needs me to prime the pump. No. And if you know the story, they had a son, and it was a nightmare because they got impatient with God. But once again, my question is why is it taking so long? Then right after this, God comes to him in Genesis chapter 17, verse 4. He says, my covenant is with you, Abraham, or Abram. He says, I have made it to you so that you would be the father of many nations. So even after Abraham, the father of faith, the one that we're supposed to imitate, even though he tried to help God mess things up, God still comes in and says, hey, listen, I made a covenant with you. And I said to you, and I'm reiterating it, I have made, everybody say made. That's significant. I have made you the father of many nations. Once again, God steps in the scene, supernaturally communicates to Abram and says, this is coming to pass. And then at the age of 99, 24 years later, God steps in again and he says, because I keep going in between the two names. His name at the time was Abram. But then God says, at the age of 99, Abram, I'm changing your name. I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham. And what the name Abraham is defined as is the father of many nations. So in other words, God says, I'm changing your name from what it was to what I said you already were. And your name, Abraham, is actually defined as saying the father of many nations. And after all this supernatural interaction with God, do you know what Abraham did? The Bible says that he laughed. Oh, God, it's been 24 years. Come on now. You've been saying this for the longest time. I'm old. My wife's old. She's not able to have kids. And the Bible says that Abraham laughed. And then God responds to him and says, listen, I've told you you're going to be the father of many nations. Now, let me even tell you what your son's name is going to be called. His name's going to be Isaac. So God gets more specific with him. And then as he says, your name is going to be Isaac, the Bible says that Sarah laughs. Are you kidding me? God's been saying this for 24 years and I'm barren in my womb. And God says that we're going to have a son called Isaac. And then God says, what are you laughing about? She said, I didn't laugh. He says, you did laugh. And then at the age of 100, they finally have the promised son. So my question is why did it take 25 years for the promise to show up? Did you not see that through that process of time for 24 years that Abraham kept wrestling against God rather than agreeing with God? Did you see that? So that tells me that he and his wife had to be talking. You know, you and your wife, you and your husband can either be your best friend and best advocate or your worst enemy. What do I mean by that? If you're both talking negative, you're in a world of hurt. If one won't come up, we're not going to talk that way. This is what God said to us. We're going to believe God. But the Bible, based on the evidence, tells me that they were talking and they got into this pity party. They were feeling sorry for themselves. They're trying to help God. They're questioning God. They're laughing at God, saying, yeah, whatever. And it got to the point where God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'll fix you, Abraham. I'm going to change your name so that every time you declare your name, you're going to declare what I said. In other words, I'm going to put you in a position where your words line up with what I say. So in other words, when you introduce yourself and you say, hi, I'm Abraham, what you're saying is, hi, I'm the father of many nations. When you introduce yourself to the new working associates, hi, just wanted to let you know, I'm the father of many nations. You go to the bank to get a loan. They say, can you sign your name here, sir? Yes, father of many nations. So what did God do? He put Abraham in a position where his words would finally line up with God and what God said. Why do we find ourselves desiring the promises of God, but oftentimes not experiencing them? It's because our words are not engaging with what God said. In fact, you remember God said this? He said in one situation, he says, your words have been stout against me. Oftentimes our words are stout against God because we say things that don't line up with his word. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right. So in regards to this, once again, the scripture begins to define what it looks like to exercise faith and to receive the promises of God. Now, let me bring to your attention over here in Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Now, there's a lot of things that we could share along the way that would expound and broaden the understanding of this. We just don't have the time to do so. But in Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 16, notice what it says here. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but all those, also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of him who, in the presence of whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they do. That last portion is the key to our faith and the key to your confession or the words in which you say. Once again, let me bring it to your attention. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him who believes, or he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they do. Whole different idea and a whole different mindset. So we could say it this way. We are empowered by grace. We receive the promises of God by faith. But how do I know that I really am in faith? The way that you know whether you're in faith or not is based upon the words in which you speak. You know, there's a lot of times when you listen to individuals and they'll be talking as though they're wanting to receive from God or they're standing in faith. Oftentimes, as you're listening to their conversation, you can locate where their faith is at. Real quick. I said, real quick, you can locate people's faith by the words in which they speak. All right, with that being said, the first thing that I do is, do I know what the Word of God says in regards to the promises of God? How do I begin to exercise my faith? Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So therefore, do I know what the Word of God says? Secondly, if I know what the Word of God says, am I speaking correctly or am I saying what God says about the situation? All right, so let me give you a couple examples. Let me know, or if you will, participate with me and let me know if this is correct speaking. If you're an individual and you say this, well, God said this to me. But what's taken so long? Are you in a position of faith? You may not know. Maybe you're just afraid to answer. Let me give you another one before we get there. In regards to the promises of God, you say something like this. I sure hope the promises are going to be. If you say, I'm hoping that it's going to come together, are you in faith? No. If you say something like this, I'm sure praying hard for this to happen. Does that prove that you're in faith? No. Well, I'm just waiting to see it come to pass. Are you in faith? In regards to Abraham, what if Abraham would have said this? I'm going to be the father of many nations. Is that a statement of faith? Is that what God said? Are you sure? He said, I made you the father of many nations. He didn't say, I'm making you to become or you will be. He said, I have made you. I called those things that be not as though they were. Those things that do not exist, I call them as though they are. So he said, Abram, I have made you the father of many nations. Not going to, you are. And when he changed his name, he says, now I'm changing your name so you talk like me, saying, I am the father of many nations. So once again, if Abraham for the next 50 years kept saying, I'm going to be, there was never an ounce of faith in that he was actually going to see it come to pass, because he's putting it off into the future. So therefore, when is it going to come? I don't know. But God said, I'm going to be. Well, when will that day come? I don't know. But I'm going to be. No, the Word of God said, I have made you the father of many nations. And so we as individuals, when it comes to the promises of God, we think that we're talking right. We think that we're in faith, but we're just almost to the edge, but we're just not quite there yet. And God has said this to me before. He said, you know, you are in faith in certain areas. He said, but you're only in faith up to a point. Do you realize that you can have a measure of faith, but there is a measure of faith that will take you over into the place of receiving, right? So for instance, when it comes to God's provision in your life, when it comes to receiving healing in your body, you might be saying, well, you know, I sure hope God does this. I'm just hoping and praying. Well, you're just hoping and praying. I mean, you might as well say, twinkle, twinkle, little star. And I don't say that to be disrespectful. My point is this, is that, that's not what the promise of God said. You're saying something contrary to. I'm hoping, I'm praying, I'm working hard to obtain it. No. Well, one of these days, I'll see my answer come to pass. I'll see my healing. No, what does the Word of God say? Let me just give you this in the context of healing. Now, once again, this is applicable to the season that we're in because this is that cold and flu season and, you know, the COVID season and all that. And so you might from time to time feel symptoms in your body. Like I feel symptoms in my body right now. You know, just that yuck feeling. Some of my family members, some of you might be feeling that right now. Yeah, see Larry over there. He's hacking out a lung right now because he's not just messing with you. Again, you might feel that, but you might be tempted just to say, well, you know, with enough rest and fluids and just kind of getting through this in a couple weeks, it will get through my system and we'll be back to where we were. Well, why let it run its course? Why not activate the promise of God in your life and say, listen, it's time for the power of God to quicken my body. And I refuse to just go through the mully grubs. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to allow sickness to infect my body. Right? But you've got to know how to talk right rather than just letting it exist. And God said this to me many years ago. He said, whatever you permit, I will allow. So if you permit the cold to ravish your home, he allows it, right? Or you can say, wait a minute, nope, nope. This can't come into my house. This can't come into my life. Depression, you can't come into my life, right? So let me give you some scripture. Now, I could give you a whole bunch, but let me just give you a few. You can write these down for the sake of reference. But notice what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says this, all God's promises are yes and amen or so be it. It didn't say all God's promises are maybe or sometimes or in the near future. It says that all of God's promises are yes. Everybody say yes. And amen. All of God's promises are yes and amen. So that's applicable to me. How about you? Psalms 107 verse 20. He sent his word and healed our disease. It says he sent his word and notice the word healed, past tense, our word, our body. He sent his word and healed our disease. Isaiah 53 verse 5. This is prophetic of what Jesus would come to do. But Isaiah 53 5, it says, by his stripes we are healed. Jesus had not been to the cross yet. He had not had stripes laid upon him yet. But God, in his foreknowledge, called those things that be not as though they are. And he said, by his stripes you are healed. So therefore, if I am healed or if I was healed, then that must mean that I am healed. Right? All right, the scripture says over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says this. Now, this is on the backside of the cross after Jesus had ascended into heaven. It goes on to say this, that by his stripes you were healed. When was I healed? I was healed when the stripes were laid upon Jesus. Therefore, Isaiah is looking ahead and foretelling. Peter is looking back and saying what has taken place. So if I was healed and I am healed, then why are we constantly trying to get healed? Are you following me? Now listen, I'm not saying you don't have sickness and disease that will afflict your body. That's not the point. In the mind of God, as he said to Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. In his word, he says, I have healed you, and you were healed. And therefore, in the matter of sickness and disease trying to afflict my body, the true reality is that God has already provided and made healing available for this physical body, regardless of the symptoms that are going on. Does that make sense? Another scripture says over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25, it says, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and disease. Jeremiah 30, verse 17, he says, I will restore health unto you and heal your wounds. Jeremiah 33, 6 says, I will bring it health and a cure, and I will cure them. And in the Gospels, all through the Gospels, we see Jesus being a healing God. And the Bible says that he was the will of God in action. If you question whether or not it was God's will, Jesus says, I've come to do the will of my Father. That which I hear him say is that which I say. That what I see him do is that what I do. So therefore, everything that we see in the Gospels was not according to the deity of who he was. It was according to the will of the Father. And in the accounts of the gospel, you will find, I think it's 19 personal accounts of individuals that Jesus healed, and 16 of the 19, it says, according to your faith be it unto you. So we think, well, this was just Jesus healing because he was Jesus, the Son of God. No, the overwhelming majority of people that received healing was according to their faith. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. She said within herself, if I could only get there and touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. You see, something changed. Going from idle positioning to saying, I'm moving and I'm receiving my healing. Can somebody say amen? So as I said, your words are extremely important. Let me just take it a little step further. You're doing okay? Remember, I began to ask you the question in regards to your inheritance as a child from your family members. Notice what it says here in Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So once again, did you notice it connects the promises of God to the attributes of Abraham? How was it that he finally received when he changed what he said? Notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. It says, for where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Why do I bring that to your attention? It's in reference to the promise of God. In natural circumstances, when do you receive your inheritance on earth? When that person dies. Right? Got good news for you. Jesus, the one that made the promise available, he died. So therefore, the promise of the testator is available to you and I. The only thing is that he rose from the grave once he died. Amen. So therefore, he assured that the death or the tactics of the enemy was defeated, even though he's still in this earth. So you have an inheritance. It belongs to you. The promises of God are yours, and they're yes and amen. So what does it look like in this hour? What must we do to engage the promises of God? Engage our mouth saying the right things. Remember, the Bible says this in Timothy, I believe it is. It says that your tongue is like a rudder of a ship. Wherever it is steered by the captain, that's where the ship goes. You are the captain of your life, and your tongue is the rudder of your life. And whatever you say is where you're headed. Therefore, if you say, I hope that I'm going to get healed. You'll swim around all day long around your promise. The promise is there. I hope that I'm going to get healed. I can see it right there in the Word of God. It's mine. I hope that I'm going to get it. I hope that I'm going to get it. God, please do something. God, please do something. I'm praying hard, God. God, I know that you're faithful. God, I know that you're a healer. Oh, I know that you want to heal me, God. And all the while that sounds good, I'm still drifting around the promise of God. But then I begin to change the way I speak. Oh, all of God's promises are yes and amen. He sent his word and healed my disease. Healing is the children's bread. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I see that Jesus, when they approached him in faith, they received. If they received, then I can receive. And therefore, I know that healing belongs to me, because he says that by his stripes, I am healed. And he says that by his stripes, I was healed. Oh, praise the God. Then now I think I am. I know that I am. Oh, I thank you, Father, that healing power is in my body. I thank you that there's a healing and a cure taking place right now. I thank you that sickness and disease is being overwhelmed and overcome by the power of God living in me. So I thank you, Father, that I'm alive, I'm healthy, I'm strong. What are you doing? You're grabbing hold of the promises of God. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I asked you the question, or I said to you, I said that the word has to be in you. Man, again, we're running short on time, so I don't have time to dig deeper into this. You can say things that are right, but you also have to have revelation of the things in which you're saying. You can have good information, but information will not bring it to pass or make it a reality. It's the revelation of the information that you have. Does that make sense? Because you can hear all day long, by his stripes I am healed. And you can say it, by his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. You can sing about it, by his stripes I am healed. Woo! Right? But until that becomes a revelation to me, where I saturate myself with the Word of God, so that when the pressure comes, I can boldly say, I am healed in Jesus' name. Then I begin to believe that I receive. Amen? So what's my encouragement for you? Let's begin to engage the promises of God, because they're ours. You've been given the grace of God to partake of them. Therefore, activate the grace. Put your faith in motion and take hold of what belongs to you by your words and agree with him. Amen? Amen. Because there's power of life and death in the tongue. He says, I set before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. You have a choice. How many of you choose life? How many of you choose the promises of God? Amen. Why don't you stand with me? Hallelujah. Well, I trust that you got something out of this morning. Like I said, there's so much on this topic that you really can't do it justice in just 30 minutes. But I'm telling you what, the devil's not going to rule and reign in my home. He's not going to rule or reign in my church, in my community. Not in my mind, not in my body. Why? Because I've got a promise, and I agree with God. I will call those things that be not as though they are. My body might not be feeling well, but I'm going to call it well. My body may not be feeling strong, I'm going to call it strong. Why? Because God said that it is. My mind may be plagued with thoughts and turmoil and depression and worry and stress. But the Bible says that I've been given the mind of Christ. And so therefore, I'll think correctly and think like God. Amen? Amen. And so therefore, I have a sound mind. Why? Because God said. Well, you just said you're struggling in your thought life. Yeah, there might be thoughts, but I'm choosing to think right and say right. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to hear the word. Father, I thank you that, Lord, this is information that can turn into revelation. And I thank you that as we begin to apply the revelation knowledge of the word of God, we begin to experience the life that you came to give. You said in your word, in John 10:10, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. God, we choose that life more abundantly in quality and quantity. And so we give you praise and thanks for it right now in Jesus' name. And we all said.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.